It's gonna be a fun episode. All right, starting what? In.
I don't know. Brent's losing his mind.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Starting in 3, 2, 1.
Set your phasers to sexy.
Welcome, loyal listeners, to another episode of True North Nerds.
Hooray!
Yay!
And Kevin blows out all of our ears.
Hello! This week, it's going to be a little bit of everything because nothing major is going on. So it's what we like to call a relaxed fit episode where we'll talk a little bit about news and we'll talk a little bit about like the various other shows we're watching. And then we'll all go home happy. But first,
talk about what I did today.
Yes.
Yeah, you can.
Speaking of which, since she's talked over my little bit of intro, Jen is here.
Hi.
Hi, Jen.
Hi.
And Kevin is here.
Hello.
Hi, Kevin.
And Ryan is here.
I'm here to try to make Brent lose his mind.
Hi, Ryan.
Hi.
It's not a very long trip.
I know. He just needs that little nudge tonight, I think. Push him over the edge.
Alrighty. Ryan.
Yes.
What's in the news this week?
Not a whole lot. I'm gonna save the biggest news point for last. So we're gonna go to work from the bottom of my list up. And this one's for you, Jen.
Yay!
Okay, so I don't know if anybody else heard about this or not, but Heinz has teamed up with Mattel to release some barbecue sauce.
I already get the joke.
So it's barbecue sauce.
Is it for cooking your Barbies?
No. It's gonna be. You know, it's only available right now in the UK and Spain. But it is a pink vegan mayo with barbecue sauce in it.
Pink vegan mayo with barbecue sauce in it.
Yeah, okay. So it's a pink vegan mayo barbecue sauce.
Hmm.
Comes in a pink bottle. I guess this is kind of a follow-up to last summer. They did a promotional thing for like barbecue, and it was like a pink barbecue and pink ketchup and just pink everything, but it wasn't real. They didn't make it. And apparently there was such a, it went over so well that this year they actually teamed up and are making like a pink barbecue sauce.
Okay. Pink
vegan mayo barbecue sauce.
Ugh.
Yeah, that kind of sounds gross.
Yeah. Right up there with purple and green ketchup. Thank you.
Oh, what was the thing that I saw? They're making like glitter ketchup.
Ugh.
Where it's like it's full of edible glitter, so your ketchup is glittery and ooh.
And so is your poop. Okay. we got some comic.
It would be because maybe Kevin will remember this more than you two. But don't you remember the glittery like toothpaste that there was?
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to eat different toothpaste.
Yeah,
you're not
supposed to swallow toothpaste. Digest it.
That's why you're not supposed to be swallowing it. You wash it, you rinse it out after.
Yeah, do you think you get every little bit of toothpaste out of your mouth by spitting it out?
You shouldn't eat enough that it does.
That it would show that it'd be noticeably glittery in your poop. If it's glittery ketchup,
the rails like, already.
Have you seen how much people use for ketchup? Like that, if it's glittery ketchup, you're gonna notice, and it's glittery, you're gonna notice. You know, if it doesn't totally digest, you're gonna notice that glitter in your poop.
That might be the name of this episode. It might be called Glitter Poop.
Yeah. Okay, right. So moving on.
Moving on from glittery poop.
Yep. We've got some cool little comic book news. Marvel announced they are going to be doing an Avengers versus Aliens comic book.
Ooh.
This will be the first time the Avengers have fought against the aliens. Superman and Batman have done it before, but now we'll get to see Spider-Man and Captain America do it.
And the team they've assembled for is, like, pretty impressive. Because it's Hickman and Isad Ribix, I
think. Oh, Hickman's writing it?
Hickman's writing it, yeah.
Okay. I was just going to read this as an off-the-shelf copy. If Hickman's writing it, I'm going to be putting this on my poll.
Yeah, it's him writing it, and Isad, what would you know him from? He was doing that Eternals series that came out before the movie did.
I didn't read Eternals.
So it's a very, like, painted kind of watercolor sort of look to it.
Yeah. So that'll be an interesting comic.
Well, you know, now that they're all owned by the mouse, it's all good, right?
Yep.
The Alien Queen is a Disney princess.
Yes, she is.
She's a Disney queen.
It also kind of makes sense because we did have Wolverine versus Predator last year, right? So,
yeah.
Well, natural extension year? Of the ideas. I want to say it ended in December. Out. Am I wrong?
I think you're wrong.
When did the last issue come out? I wonder. It was only 4 issues.
Yeah, but I don't think it was. I feel like it was. I feel like it was January or February. I could easily.
Could be. Wrong,
time has no meaning to me other than I work 6 days a week and on the 7th day I rest. That's all I know.
Are you God?
I'm not saying I am. But
I'm not saying I am.
Hey, you guys, don't put words in my mouth.
So it just pulled in at the end of 2023.
Oh, did it? Okay.
Like December 27th is when it came out.
Oh, so like that last, that's why it feels like there was.
Yeah, like that last week of comics, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so we got 2 new movie trailers in the last 2 weeks that fit into our categories of viewing. The first one was an animated trailer for the new Transformers 1 movie.
Mm-hmm.
That will be coming to theaters, I believe, this fall. With such voice actors as Scarlett Johansson and Chris Hemsworth.
And somebody, who's doing Megatron's voice?
I have no clue. Not Megatron.
No, but they're both, like, famous actors.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah.
He was on the... I'm looking it up.
He's sitting beside Chris Hemsworth when they announced the trailer.
Oh, yeah, it's the guy from, like, Eternals. Bringing that up again. Wow, that's 2 mentions.
That's episode. Like your whole point of reference in time now. Oh, you know, pre-post Eternals.
Pre-post Eternals. For you, he was in Godzilla vs. Kong. I don't remember him in Godzilla vs. Kong. He's in Bullet Train. He's the adopted brother assassin guy along with Kick-Ass.
Oh, okay. Yep.
He's also in, who is he in Into the Spider-Verse? He's somebody.
Somebody's voice?
Yeah.
Spider-Man's dad?
He's his dad, Jefferson Davies.
Davis. Miles' dad. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So, yep. Anybody have thoughts?
Is this movie geared at little kids? Is it?
Well, it's Transformers and it's a cartoon. So I'm going to say, yes, it's geared towards, you know, kids ages like 7 and up.
Okay.
Right. Just like it's, you know, all these properties, as much as we have our nostalgia feel for them and we want them to be for us. These are made to sell toys and merchandise.
Oh, for sure.
Right. Even the live action ones. It's explosion, 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 giant robots. They're meant for kids. We just happen to have kids inside of us.
Right.
So I was like, this looks all right. Today I'm like, oh, that kind of makes sense. I had a customer who was telling me about, like, he saw the trailer for it and he's really looking forward to it. Because he was a big fan when he was younger. which also made me feel like crumbling into dust and blowing away in the wind, of, I think it was called Transformers Prime.
Yes, that's one.
Which shares kind of like a similar look in terms of the animation style.
Not really.
That's what he said. So, and given that he was a kid when that was out and you were an adult, I'm actually going to go with, like, in his mind, that's what it looked like.
Yes. For nostalgia in his purposes. Mind, sure. Awesome. I can, in with that caveat, yes. With the fact that I actually really like Transformers Prime, so I've watched that one, and I think I bought the straight-to-DVD final movie that wrapped up that storyline, so it's probably still on the shelf over in my living room. The animation, we'll call it, it's CGI, to me looks closer to the robots we saw, the whole shot of Cybertron at the beginning of Bumblebee, I think, than one of those older cartoons, just because it's newer. Maybe it's a recency bias. I don't know. But I think it's the thing that will probably be really interesting for Transformers fans like myself is that the time period that the story is taking place in. It's before Prime is Prime. He's not even Optimus. He's it's
Orion like, Pax.
Thank you.
His name is Brian?
Orion.
Oh.
I heard Brian Pax.
It's Sunday night. It's late. It's okay, Jen.
And now I want that to be his name.
Watch out. Here comes Brian.
And from what we see in the trailers, they don't even have at least not everybody can transform. They don't have transforming gears or cogs. So they get them and then have to learn how to transform and use their newfound powers. But looks like we're going to see Quintessons and their forces. So this is kind of like a throwback to in Transformers lore. So it's pre the Great Civil War. Might even, pre a lot of the established lore of Transformers. So could be interesting. And, the trailers, it's lighthearted. There's some funny spots and it looks very kiddie. Now, this is the first trailer. So that could be, they could be showing that stuff on purpose, right? To get kids excited and making it could turn out to be a more serious movie that works for both, fans young and old, like Mutant Mayhem, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem did. Those trailers looked very kid centric, and then when we saw that movie, we all enjoyed it. So, time
it
will tell.
It doesn't look horrible to me, any stretch. I'm just not huge on my list of movies to watch per se, but like it's also a first trailer, so we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. Now the true trailer I am hyped up from, and I do want to see the movie for, was the big reveal we got this week. We got our first full trailer for Deadpool and Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure I can, I'm sure you guys will agree. I am looking forward to seeing this movie.
I am looking forward to seeing the movie. And because I am looking forward to seeing the movie, I did not watch the trailer.
Oh, you didn't even watch this one?
No, I'm I'm going to see this movie. I do not need to know what is in this trailer. It can wait until I see the movie.
Okay. The trailer kind of explains a bit about what the movie's, obviously what the movie's going to be about, but explains how they, I don't want to spoil anything, how they fit stuff in.
Talk about it. I don't mind you talking about it. I know I'm going to go see the movie. So I just didn't need to see the trailer. But if you want to talk about the specifics of the trailer, I am fine with that.
It looks good. I'm looking forward to it.
Yep. So
it looks very Deadpool-y, ridiculous fun.
Yes. That whole sequence when he's talking to his blind friend and she asks him if he wants some cocaine and he's like, no! Kevin Feige said that's on the list. We can't talk about that. And then he starts saying all the different names for it. He's like, no, he knows them all. It's like, oh. That's funny.
So can I, Kevin, are you okay if I put forth a theory based on of this?
Please, please. Theories are fine.
So my thought is the Wolverine that's in this movie, in the trailer, they like it's Deadpool mentions that like he was unable to save his universe. Now he can help Deadpool save his. I wonder if the Wolverine in this, because he's in like the comic book style suit, is it might be like riffing off of the start of Old Man Logan, or like parts of this movie would, where because in Old Man Logan he like he's like duped through like psychics and stuff to murder all the X-Men.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
In the comic book Old Man Logan, I think it's a combination of Mysterio illusions and gas along with powerful psychics. They trick Wolverine into thinking he is attacking villains, and it turns out he's attacking his own team. Which I think they kind of allude to. Did they not kind of set that up in Logan?
I'm not, it's been a while since I've watched Logan, so you may be right.
I don't think they did, no. I'm remembering stuff from the radio, like the little podcast, Old Man Logan.
Yeah.
That was very similar and had some pieces to it, to the comic, but different than the comic, and I think I'm blending all three things together in my head. So yeah, never mind, forget I said all that. Okay. Edit that all out, Brent. Make me look smart.
No, honestly,
we all know you're not smart, Ryan. Come on.
Yeah. Honestly, like you, like it's one of those things. Like you know, Ed might be listening to this episode and saying like, no, he did kill him off. Like it's been so long since I've watched that movie that you could be like completely right or wrong on it. You know?
Yeah. Who knows now? But, so we got that point. Like, that's an interesting take. There's some people out there speculating that it's going to be that he's... Like, I think some people are thinking he's like Old Man Logan.
Which I don't think he is.
I don't think he is either because of that whole... I'm thinking that that sequence in the bar where the bartender tells him to get out, he's not allowed to be there, and he comes walking in to recruit him. I think that takes place at the end of time in that whole area that we see.
I thought that was from not First Class. What was the bad Wolverine movie?
Origin?
X-Men Origins Wolverine?
Yeah. I thought that was a direct scene from that.
But I don't know.
I could be wrong because it's been a long time since I've
seen that movie. It mirrors, I think that's that's in like a bunch of
them. Yeah. We see Wolverine in a bar quite often.
Yeah,
in First Class, they go to recruit him at the beginning there when Xavier and Magneto are trying to recruit people, and he tells them to fuck off.
Yeah.
And like in the very first X-Men movie, that's where they meet Wolverine is in a bar, like a very similar scene. So like it, who knows? Like, well, we'll find out when it comes out.
But looking forward. We see him in the yellow and blue. We see him, the two of them fighting each other. So there are connections to the Loki series because we see that world at the end of time with the big cloud monster and other cool Easter eggs all over the place.
I wonder if that's how they're going to fix the whole TVA thing with they can't really do Kang anymore. Or they're probably not going to do Kang anymore.
Yeah, don't know. We'll find out in July. Right, that one comes out in July?
Yep, it's like the week after birthday, I think.
I was looking. I was assuming it opened early because most of the big Marvel movies have opened in April or May lately. So I was quite surprised when I saw it was a July film.
Yeah, this one got pushed back a few times because I think originally it was supposed to be out in February, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was back when we were supposed to get 3 Marvel films this year.
Yeah. So, yeah. And there you go. That's it for my news list.
Do you got anything, any Kev? I've got like one little thing here I wanted to mention.
Not that I can think of.
No, that's okay. So, an interesting development happened this week in the world of comics. It's a sort of a smaller one, but I thought it was worth kind of bringing up. So last year, maybe the year before, Frank Miller started up his own like comic company called Frank Miller Presents, which like Frank has his detractors and stuff like that at the moment. But overall, he is a comic book legend. So it was interesting to see that he was kind of cracking out on his own with the sequel to Ronin, where he was doing the writing and Philip Tan was doing most of the art. And then there was a couple other books, but there was also like announcements for 2 more Sin City series and a bunch of stuff. So all the books that like were coming out, like that were solicited, came out and finished, and mostly on time for the most part. The sequel to Ronin looked beautiful. And then nothing, like the promised books never occurred. Well, now we sort of have a reason why, is because this original Frank Miller Presents was being funded by NFTs and cryptocurrency, basically. And
So hopes and dreams.
Yeah. So surprise, surprise. Those guys don't have my guess is those guys have either decided that comics are not the money making venture that they thought they were, or because it was basically like, from what I understand, it was the same collective that bought that Dune Bible. Like the Jodorowsky Dune, like how he had those huge Bibles of like art and all that sort of stuff. And their original plan when they bought it at auction was to like, they thought they had the rights to make Dune and they were incorrect for multiple reasons. So what has happened is Frank Miller's moved Frank Miller Presents over to Abrams, which was mainly a book publisher up until like basically 2 years ago. And Abrams has been slowly doing comic books. They did a Fantastic Four standalone graphic novel that Alex Ross did like the writing and art for. That is a fantastic book. They've been reprinting some of the Simpsons comics, which have been out of print for like the last decade. And now they're doing like Frank Miller's books. So the first thing that they're doing is they're reprinting they're doing the collected version of Ronin 2, which is now called Ronin Rising. And part of that is they're doing a collector's volume, like for people like me. It's in landscape, but ugh. Other than that, it looks really cool. But they're also using it because of Ronin's relationship to manga. It was inspired by a bunch of manga that Miller had read, it like the original book, like Lone Wolf and Cub and stuff like that. They're doing a manga-sized version of this book, too, to launch their new manga line. So Abrams is like starting to go all in on comics and like their manga line. They've gotten the idea is that they will have one new book, like they will publish one book a month from a number of different series. None of which look familiar to me, but that I'm not like a huge manga guy. So that makes sense. But it's an interesting shift and kind of like a welcome one, because Abrams is, you know, they've got money, as Ryan put it. It's not a company ran on hopes and dreams. And the comic stuff that they've done so far is like good. Like at least it's well presented.
I was gonna let you get away with that one.
I kind of just was like, huh? And then I'm like, oh, I'll just let him go.
I'll just ignore like this one.
Like the Fantastic Four graphic novel from Alex Ross was really good. I'm not a Simpsons comic guy by any stretch, but like how they put out that they were the ones who did the collected these big hardcover collections of the Treehouse of Horror comics. They're like fantastic looking books. And you know, and as a book publisher, they do like a ton of stuff. So they're also the home for a like a graphic novel series that Brian Michael Bendis has been writing for the last little while. That's like a fantasy series. So I thought it was worth pointing out. Oh, they are also the home of one of the most popular comic strip books, or well, comic book. I don't know what you would call these exactly. Of the last couple of years, Diary of a Wimpy Kid. So, like, that's those the kind
are,
of money.
Yeah, those are popular that books, we're talking or at about, least they were. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Hmm. So,
go ahead.
I'm talking about this is just a nothing topic, but really, I was at Indigo the other day, and I was looking at their graphic novel selection, and there was at least one, there might have been more than one. They were collections of Marvel comics, early Marvel comics, that were published by Penguin.
Oh yeah. Were they the hardcover ones or the softcover ones?
It was a softcover Fantastic Four one was the one I picked up. And basically, it didn't reprint every issue of the early Fantastic Four, but it reprinted all of the sort of important key new character stuff. And with text pieces in between that sort of told you the history of the book.
Yeah, they're cool looking collections. I think, well, because they're published in Penguin, I'm pretty sure I can order them in, like to the store. Hmm. But yeah, this is recent. I'm guessing like the idea behind it is to combine, because Penguin is the distributor of Marvel Comics, both. It's singles and trade paperbacks.
Oh, I did not realize that.
Oh, you didn't know that? Oh, yeah, that's the last couple of years. Yeah, we're going to get into a whole bunch of like stuff here that I'll try to make short form. So these are basically the ideas is like this is the Marvel version of the Penguin Classics. Like, you know, when you go in and you buy like Animal Farm or whatever book for your college syllabus that you need to get at like a reasonable price. This is the same thing. There's Spider-Man, Captain America, Black Panther, X-Men, Avengers, and Fantastic Four is the latest one. There's six so far, according to their website.
Huh.
And they have, I'm not sure if it's through Penguin or if it's through Folio Society. Somebody is publishing these as beautiful hardcovers as well.
Wow, that is
Penguin. Penguin does Marvel like single issues and trade paperbacks and hardcovers like collected. They also are the distributor for all DC's collected books. Oh, we're testing my work knowledge here. And Dark Horse collected volumes. I want to say, and maybe IDW. There's somebody else in there. It's the we comment on it at work a lot that the because of the, so when DC left Diamond and set up their own distribution channel. Right. That sort of opened the floodgates. Okay. And Diamond's footprint is much, much smaller these days.
Oh.
Like the Diamond shipments that we get are not incredibly huge. Because Diamond is, in terms of single issues, is Dark Horse and Boom, I want to say. And they do still, you can still get Marvel books through them, but like the discount to like stores for at least for us is better through Penguin than it is through Diamond.
Oh, okay.
So it's like basically Marvel doesn't have an exclusive contract with Penguin or does, and Diamond might just be getting their books from Penguin in order to distribute them. It's pretty small. Like right now Image is on its way out from Diamond. I believe it's kind of like the Marvel where it's like there will be some books you can get on both, and then Image is going to appear. I believe it's Universal, but don't quote me on that. So it's like,
I believe everything Brent said, because I have no knowledge of this stuff. That's why I have to
work. You don't have to deal with it.
I'm there as the pretty face part... to some comics.
You're the,
yep.
You're the face of Big B Comics, huh?
At least on Saturdays.
On Saturdays, yeah.
Yeah, it's really kind of interesting how the other companies have gone with it. And like, Diamond's still kicking, like, don't get me wrong, but their footprint is much smaller than it was like even like 3 years ago. Like the various companies started going with other distributors around the pandemic. I believe DC had an exclusive, but it's basically something to do with how Diamond shut down their shipping and their warehouses during the first part of the bit, like when everything was shut down. That triggered like a clause or something in the contract, which allowed DC to like opt out early. And they did. But like, and that opting out was like a headache at the time. I wasn't working on the sales side at that point, but I remember talking to my boss, and like he's like, yeah, it's kind of a mess because they just sort of did it, and there hasn't been much follow up right now. And at least for our store, it meant like there was a bunch of books that kind of just got skipped. Because they like nobody knew where to order them from, like which place or who would fulfill it, kind of thing.
Yeah, because there was a West Coast and an East Coast American company that was doing distributing, and nothing clear as far as who Canadians were supposed to order from. And
yeah, and then even then, like at the time, like order them out of the U.S. And the price was such that, like, many shops were like, oh, I guess I'm just not carrying DC Comics anymore.
Yeah.
And then, like, quickly a Canadian operation kind of picked up for it.
It's amazing how many decisions are made without any thought of the consequences.
Yeah.
It's just those bean counters.
Yeah, the...
Well, you gotta know how many beans you got.
Yeah, the cry was, important. At the time... And like many retailers were like, oh, this is great because it'll get us better deals, because like Diamond was almost a monopoly. Like you got all of your comics out of Diamond. But if you talk to people who are in the retail industry, like who are good at it, they would point out that sometimes monopolies are there for a reason. Or at least like Diamond had like a very smooth process going on, and yeah, like their prices were their prices, but like the amount of headaches it took out of just ordering from one place was huge. Like unfortunately, to give an example, my boss has to basically go in on Sundays because that's when the order cutoffs are for certain like books from other publishers. Like it's the only way we can get them done correctly without worrying about like screwing up for our customers and stuff like that. It's, you know, it seems like I know it's kind of a first world problem, but at the same time, it's like that's like, you know, it used to be like you could get them, you did them all by Friday and you sent it all in. And then you were good. Now it's all like kind of over the place, and he's just picked. He like Sunday is just the best day to get them all done. So there.
I have learned so much. It's not.
Yeah, it's not like and like the current system. Like, don't get me wrong. It's like it's not bad. It just like it's coming in from all different sides, and who, you know, there's all sorts of questions in the future of what happens if certain things change, you know?
Right.
Like the realistically is, you know, Marvel Comics is owned by Disney. What if Disney decides that the single issue is not something to be bothered with? That is a very feasible thing that may or may not happen. Like they will never, like you talk to anybody there now, they won't say that. Yeah. But the truth of the matter is like, I'm sure at some point, like probably every couple of years, somebody in accounting does these reports, probably more than like at least once a year, if not like constantly, looks at these numbers. And if there's the thing that, like, you know, they may look at, graphic novels sell well, we're just losing money on monthly issues, just stop making monthly issues.
Or they could do, you know, hate to say it, they could go the route of, oh, you want monthly stories still? Fine, no problem. Subscribe to our app.
Yeah.
Get your weekly issues of whatever comics you're buying, and you can later on buy it as a collective, like I said, as just a graphic novel later on.
Yeah.
And I hope that doesn't happen.
No. We've actually talked about it at work of like, how would our business change if that happened? Because it like, quite frankly, not to like, there, at least for our store, monthly Marvels are like a good percentage of our store. DC doesn't make as much of a dent as Marvel's does. And like, if you're a DC fanboy, this is not criticizing you. It's just the clientele of our store is Marvel heavy for whatever reason. And that, like, if the Marvel suddenly decided not doing monthly books, it's like, do we bother carrying monthly books like at all at that point? Do we go, like, how do we change in order to survive, essentially?
Yeah.
But and like, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of old timers out there saying, oh, that'll never happen. I'm like, never is a very strong word to use. Like, it's a very real possibility. Like, and like, you know, you look at other parts of the world, is, you know, the monthly comic is really like more of a Western thing than it is anything else. And even then, I would say it's more English speaking Western. Like France's like graphic albums are the thing. They come out when they come out. Manga does, like, I guess some manga, especially if you get into the magazine stuff like Shonen Jump and stuff like that, I guess that's almost like a monthly or a weekly, but like that's a completely different animal. And honestly, I don't know what the difference is in manga in Japan when it comes to print versus digital too. Like, I don't know how much of a digital presence manga is. Like, is that the overriding thing? Or, like you know, Shonen Jumps and stuff like that not doing as well because of that? Like, that's a whole thing. But, like, on a whole, like, you know, they're used to once a month or once every couple months, like, a collection comes out and that's how you buy it, is, like, the manga-sized one piece or whatever. I'm sure I've bored like most of our audience to sleep at this point. So let's talk about something else more exciting, like X-Men.
Moving on.
X-Men.
The show is so good.
It is. It is so much better than it has any right to be. You know, who would have thought, oh, we're just going to pick up where a 30-year-old show left off and we're going to do it in the same animation style. Who would have thought that that would have been the show that I look forward to most each week. Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing a really good job with it.
So, where we left off last, so we've two, because we talked about this last episode too.
Spoilers!
So there's no point in retreading that. So, we've had two episodes since we've gotten some wrap up on Storm's storyline.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We've found out about Professor X.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had Rogue go rogue.
Yep.
Yeah. You don't want a rogue.
Yeah.
That's bad all around.
I love how they preface that by saying, like, everybody deals with grief in their own way. Rogue, for example, takes on the American Army.
Yes, we had some cool cameos in this episode. We get to see General Thunderbolt Ross and Captain America. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think he's still looking for a shield. I had to look up who was doing Thunderbolt Ross's voice. Because it sounds a lot like, what's his name? William
Harrison
Hurt.
Harrison Ford? Oh.
No, I thought it sounded a lot like William Hurt. And it is, and I'm like, did he record this before he passed? Like, there is that slight possibility that that was. But nope, just the guy who happens to sound a lot like him.
Interesting.
Yeah, they are taking big storytelling risks. They are killing off fan favorite characters. They are making choices that are exciting. I loved when Roberto revealed his mutantness to his mother, and his mother's like, "Oh yeah, we knew. Just don't tell anyone, and we'll be fine."
Mm. Yeah, you can't tell anyone. And everything.
We kind of figured, you know, because our house keeps burning down.
Jubilee was like, "Wait, what?"
Parents always know.
Well, most of the time.
I think you're being sneaky. You're not.
Well, her parents weren't, right?
Yeah.
I was, I'd be honest, a little surprised to see Captain America show up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a little surprised, not surprised. I had seen the picture of the shield in the snow, so I knew that was coming.
Yeah.
But was surprised that it happened.
Hmm. So I wonder, like, I'm trying to think, because Jen and I watched it. There is an X-Men episode where, like, Captain America does appear. It's a Wolverine, like, flashback episode.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, but there was one with Spider-Man too, wasn't there? So they showed up in the Spider-Man cartoon.
Well, they showed up in Spider-Man. Does he show up in X-Men?
Yes. Yeah, so it was a crossover. I'm pretty sure.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I know definitely that they show up in, or at least a couple of them show up in various episodes of Spider-Man. I couldn't remember if he like returns the favor. I don't doubt it. Like, it's a very, like, very possible thing. I just don't remember it because, like, Lord knows
how long it's been. Yep.
Yeah.
It would be really cool if by the end of the season we do see Spider-Man and he looks and sounds like that cartoon, and then following that, Disney announces they're going to do a Spider-Man cartoon like this too.
Ooh, fun. That would be fun.
There's a lot of rumors rolling around about that. I'm curious how true they are. I wouldn't be surprised if they're looking at it.
I just read an article, an interview with James Gunn, who had to quash any rumors that they were working on a Justice League Unlimited 04 kind of a show. Somebody said, wouldn't it be cool if we did the same thing with the Batman the Animated Universe? Batman the Animated Series universe, and continue that on from the last we saw of it, which was in Justice League Unlimited. And he's like, yeah, that's a nice idea. We're not going to do that.
Don't get your hopes up.
Yeah, I completely understand that from two fronts. One is the fact that they are trying to like establish animated movies that connect with their live action one.
Yes.
And this is one of those.
Creature Commandos being the first one.
Yeah, and this is one of those few things that I can say, like, I could see if they did that and, like, a new, like, Batman animated series versus Justice League or whatever, how that would actually confuse viewers. Like, it's very rare you will hear me say that, but if you put them both out around the same time, when you're just trying to establish, like, that new one, not to mention, like, all those straight-to-DVD movies that they've been doing and all that sort of stuff, you're just kind of just adding one more thing to the pile.
Yeah.
The other thing is, like, from a creative standpoint, Spider-Man especially, X-Men a bit, didn't get, like, really good finishes. Like, no. Spider-Man ends on a cliffhanger. And, you know, the difference is like, the Justice League cartoon, like, ends really, really well. Like, it just ends with a...
Yeah.
It ends with, like, a good ending. They beat Darkseid. All the villains are like that helped them out. They're like, it's like, they're like, well, you got to go back to jail now. And the villains are like, what? Really? Are you serious? We just helped save the world. And then Superman looks at Batman or something like, what do you think? And Batman's like, 10 minute head start. Go. And the villains just start running. And the last scene of the Justice League cartoon is just various sets of the superheroes basically running at the screen and then off screen as like, you know, almost like a final curtain call bow. Like, it's really well done. So in my mind, there's like you did it. There's no real point in like doing more. Like it ended well. Like, we had a good conclusion. Why wreck it?
Yeah. So any speculation about where we're going with the X-Men?
I've got no clue, to be honest, other than I was a little surprised to see Bastion show up.
Yeah, what do we know about Bastion? He's not a character I'm familiar with.
Which one, Bastion again?
So Bastion is the bad guy that was helping Trask. He kind of sounds like Jen pointed out, he sounds like the current bad guy in Bad Batch.
Oh, the guy whose special power is playing Purple People Eater. His mutant ability is to play the Purple People Eater.
Oh, okay.
He is a Sentinel. Like, he is a version of a Sentinel. From his comic book storyline.
He's a human Sentinel? He's not a human.
I think he's referred to as a living Sentinel.
Oh.
He and Kevin, the reason you're not familiar from him is he's from that period of X-Men that like neither you nor I ever read or read.
I stopped reading not long after the Jim Lee X-Men number one, all that kind of stuff.
Okay, so yeah, so he shows up in like when that run with Joe Mad. Mm-hmm. The guy behind Battle Chasers, he's during like that period, maybe not Joe Mad specific, but around that time period, like early 2000s.
Got it. Okay, yeah, that's past my X-Men reading time.
Yeah, he Bastion does have a connection to a very important X-Men bad guy character, and I don't want to say more because I don't want to spoil it for you guys.
Okay. Well,
we have seen glimpses of that character, and it's not right. Mr. Sinister.
Okay. I was gonna say I expected him to do more sinister stuff, but
well, Sinister is definitely involved as by the last scene, but
yeah, exactly.
Isn't he a mutant?
Sinister?
Yeah. Why is he trying to destroy mutants?
He's not trying to destroy them. He's kind of like likes to manipulate them and wants to control people and likes to play God.
Yeah, but if he was behind them destroying Genosha, but that's him killing all the mutants. Why would he want that?
Looking up what Wikipedia actually classifies as his powers. And I'm
mayhem.
Yeah. It doesn't say. Because he is another character kind of like Apocalypse, where his like history is somewhat convoluted and has been retconned in places.
And it doesn't help that he likes to clone himself. Okay. So that's part of how he's like almost seems immortal.
Clony, 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 clony.
Yeah.
Okay, so So this comes from Wikipedia.
Use your words, Brent.
Basically, he was a scientist who was a contemporary of like Darwin, right? And he is obsessed with engineering humanity into the perfect race of superhumans. He learns about mutants and encounters Apocalypse, and the two like start working together, hence why they are kind of frenemies. And using celestial technology, Mr. Sinister ends up being an ageless man with superpowers. I'm not exactly what those superpowers are. I can't like really find it anywhere. They say shape-shifting, but I don't recall him actually shape-shifting.
Yeah, I want to throw out there that he's got some kind of psychic abilities.
Could be.
If not so much like full-blown like Professor X, but at least enough that he can implant, thoughts or memories or, put mental breaks or mental stuff in to stop other people. That's why, when we see Jean reading Trask's mind and all of a sudden, that's like that flash of sinister, he's put mental blocks in there, booby traps.
That makes sense.
And it looks like he can like regenerate according to like various things that he's been involved in. But like, as you said, we now know that he has clones. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's made me think of. I have a good geek pick now. I was struggling, and I thought of one now.
So. Does it involve clones?
It may involve clones, and it may involve Mr. Sinister.
Ooh.
Yeah, Mr. Sinister and his at least him and his clones are also part of the downfall of the Krakoan era of X-Men and possibly the Marvel Universe itself. Well, not really, but that's how they're framing it right now.
I don't think Squirrel Girl's ever gone up against Mr. Sinister, but she would defeat him because she's unbeatable.
Duly noted. So I'm curious to see where it goes. How many more episodes do we have left? Do we know?
Three. That was episode 7 that we just watched. So there are three more left.
Oh, that's it?
How many more episodes of Bad Batch do we got left?
Let's see here. I am looking it up.
Okay, I'll let you look it up.
Tappity tap tap.
Tap tap tap.
Tappity tap tap.
One.
Well, while Kevin looks that up, I have another thing I wanted to bring up. Actually, now that just in our talking points, did you guys hear about the rumored plans for Disney to start offering channels on Disney Plus?
Yeah, I did.
Like scheduled content that would just be on, so like you would just like if you were watching a channel on cable, you tune in and something would be already pro. Yeah, we're going backwards.
We're going backwards.
Yeah.
Well, though there are services like that already that are quite popular. Tubi is one of them. Pluto is another, and lots of people use them. You know, there's an all Star Trek channel on Pluto, and I have lots of friends who just put on random episodes of Star Trek as background noise while they're working at their computers all day.
Yeah, but those are free.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. These would be inside Disney Plus.
I don't want to pay a streaming service to give me, I get it if it's a free thing and there's ads, like commercials, like cable used to be.
Right.
But I don't
know. Yeah, so why would you tune into, I guess unless you're just like, well, I want to watch something Marvel and I can't decide. So you just see what's on the Marvel channel there's already all the stuff there. You want to watch an episode of X-Men, watch X-Men. You want to watch a cartoon, or a movie, they're all there. Just hit play. Watch it from the beginning.
Yeah. And if I want background noise, I just honestly stick on YouTube.
Well, if I want to stream something, from Disney Plus, guess what? I just put on Disney Plus and pick what I was going to watch, what I wanted to put stream in the background, especially if it's just a background thing. Like
we're not normal, though.
No, we're not. But if I, if I wanted to watch some Star Trek stuff when it was on Crave, I would just go ahead, click it, put it on there, and go about my day and do my things. I've logged on and watched on Tubi. I think it was Tubi. Is that it's Pluto, because Pluto is Pluto TV. Tubi is more like everything else, which is pick something, start it, play it. There's still commercials, but
yeah, Tubi has Doctor Who.
Yeah, and Pluto
has Star Trek.
Yes, do they have Star Trek? Do they have a Star Trek channel?
Yes, they do.
I was watching...
Pluto is owned by Paramount.
Okay. So that's
all the
one
ads
where
are
I was...
Paramount.
Oh, there you go. I was watching some... They have like a courtroom channel, and it would have episodes of JAG.
I watched... They also have episodes that you can stream by choice. And
oh, really?
I watched the very first episode of The Brady Bunch because I never saw how Mike and Carol got together.
Oh, jeez.
How did they get together?
In the first episode, they're getting ready for their wedding. So we don't really find out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was actually kind of curious about that when you brought it up. And it was like, is that one of those shows where they just bypass that and the theme song just like tells you everything you need to know?
That's what
or...
I assumed.
Pretty much. Yeah. It is by the same creator as Gilligan's Island. Yeah, but the first episode is the wedding of Mike and Carol, and the wedding gets ruined because the boys insist on bringing the dog with them to the wedding. And then when Mike
as
and Carol
does.
Go on their honeymoon, it's not right because they miss the kids too much, and they rush home and get the kids and bring them on the honeymoon with them. That's and Alice.
Obviously for some... fake.
Yeah. So
yeah, that's definitely they weren't well, you know, back then they probably didn't move in together until after the wedding anyways, right?
Right. Because
so
the house
like,
where the
had they
was
known
at...
how often they would not be able to use the bathroom due to it being filled with six teenagers, they would have gone on that honeymoon and said
never
came
back.
The house where the wedding is at is not the Brady Bunch house. It's a totally different house. It might be Carol's parents' house because we do meet Carol's parents in that episode as well.
Oh.
Yeah, it's interesting. So I was listening to a podcast and they started talking about the Brady Bunch and I'm like, yeah, how did the Brady Bunch start? I don't think I've ever seen the first episode of the Brady Bunch. And so I went and watched it.
I like it when you
find out about the Bad Batch.
So there is one episode of the Bad Batch left. This week's episode is the last episode of Bad Batch. It is called The Cavalry Has Arrived.
Is it?
I don't know
episode?
How they wrap everything up.
Yeah. Jeez.
Yep. Huh. So this.
I think that what's her name is going to be a big part of helping them escape the scientist clone girl.
Yeah.
She's nice.
Emery,
that's her name. I think she's going to...
Do we see Grogu in this last episode?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
He's part of that whole Project Necromancer,
not,
though.
Not at that point, he's not.
Yeah.
How do we know? He might be at a different facility.
No, because they were looking for him. They never had him.
No, they had him and he got out. And that's one of those things of Mandalorian they've never really like addressed.
I don't know how. No, they didn't.
How
have
did the clone doctor know who he was? Was he just like that? That's one of those things that like maybe it's my headcanon, but
your
I assumed
canon.
He. Let me explain my theory.
No explanation. I'm trying to try to speak tonight.
He got out somehow. Like he was either like spirited away. And then through the Imperial means, they hired at some point he gets a hold of, that crime family gets him and just holds him hostage. And they send in the bounty hunters in order to get him. Why else would the clone doctor know everything about him? And they already, he already had, medical records. You know what I mean?
That's yeah, because true. They had access to all of his medical records from the Jedi Temple.
We're assuming that the Jedi kept medical records.
Yeah,
why wouldn't they? They kept all the other. They had a giant
because
library.
Because they're a shitty cult. That's why.
I mean, I like them, but yeah.
I like the Jedi too, but the real like. You put that many teenagers filled with hormones and say you can't have sex, bad things happen. you can't have emotional attachments to a teenager.
They actually they start indoctrinating them very much younger than that. So,
and then you get Mr. Jedi. How come you trying to kill us?
Good memories.
Oh, that shut the conversation down. Sorry.
I love the robot chicken one.
Oh, it's like, happy place.
Can I just have a big hug?
Yeah. He's just cutting the flower, the heads off the flowers. Oh, look, yay! Slice.
All right, so we will probably wrap up both Bad Batch and X-Men our next episode. And
yeah, there are three episodes of X-Men left.
Oh, yep. So we'll probably be like one shy for X-Men.
And they are called Tolerance is Extinction Part 1, Tolerance is Extinction Part 2, and Tolerance is Extinction Part 3.
You know what? That title doesn't bode well for a peaceful resolution.
So, and here are the descriptions of the three episodes. X-Men must unite to face a new threat. The X-Men work to settle the score before it is too late. And the X-Men's dream is put to the test as mutant-human relations reach a tipping point.
Yeah.
Jolly good fun.
We tried, we failed. We're back to square one.
Yep.
Humans are jerks.
Humans are jerks. We all know this.
So, with that all in mind, we come to the end of another episode. But before we end, we must give out shout-outs. Shout-outs to our patrons at patreon.com/TrueNorthNerds. For just $3 a month, you can help us pay for the various podcasting things that we pay for, like hosting, our theme song, and occasional equipment repairs and stuff like that.
Very much appreciated, any help you can give us.
Yes. In terms of paying membership, what that gets you is one podcast that comes out once a month called Listen to This. It's a music nerd podcast hosted by myself and Alex, where we go through different things. We should be recording, due to delays, we should be recording our next episode tomorrow. So hopefully it will be up pretty quick in the first or second weekend of May. The theme for next step, the episode that we're doing is we're checking in on two older acts that we kind of went, whatever happened to those guys? What are they doing right now? Alex has apparently got like some really interesting follow-ups on his. And because Alex and I are old white dudes, we decided that we would delve into the algorithms, the TikToks, the Instagrams, and find two music artists that we have never listened before but keep showing up as the thing that kids listen to these days. Mm-hmm. Will Alex and I prove that we are still old farts and don't know what the deal is with these? Or will we actually like these bands? Tune in to find out. There is another Patreon exclusive podcast coming. It is a secret show that I'm currently working on, where the first episode has been recorded. It will be a limited series of four episodes, one of which free to drive people into our Patreon, and then the rest will be Patreon exclusive. The first episode is any sort of marker for where the rest of it's going to go. It may not make a hell of a lot of sense, but it's going to be a lot of fun. So, and finally, as a patron, you get a shout out. All paid Patreon members get a shout out at the end of each episode as a thank you. And this month we thank Drew, Karina, Alex, Team Woods, who also put together TrueNorthNerds.com. Thank you, Team Woods, for that. Mike Hammond, and our good friend Rex. So, if you would like to help us without financially helping us, we understand like the economy sucks right now, so we don't blame any of you if you can't throw in a couple of bucks.
But have you seen the price of gas?
Yeah. If you would like to help us out, you can do so just by sharing this with your friends. If you are a nerd and listening to the show, you probably have other nerdy friends. Show them this podcast. Send them the link. Give us a thumbs up on whatever thing you happen to be listening to us on. Just helps us out that way to spread the word.
Post about us on your social media.
Yes. With that in mind, we are now at the end of the episode, which means Geek Picks. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
So all that talk about Sinister and clones and stuff had me remembering an older comic series from the early 2000s. So, you know, it started in 2004. So a 20-year-old comic series called X-Men The End. At this time, Marvel was doing a bunch of these The End comics. So there was like a Fantastic Four The End, a Hulk The End, a Punisher The End. And it was kind of like a what-if alternate reality story where, you know, it's like, yeah, the person or team or characters in question kind of came to an end. This one, so the X-Men The End was a three-part, it was made up of three miniseries for a total of 18 issues. In it, we have, you know, Sinister doing Sinister stuff. We find out that he, at one point in time, he started basing his clones off of Gambit's body and genetics. So when he doesn't have his makeup and outfits on, he looks like Gambit.
Oh, that's creepy.
And I think they try to allude that he may be Gambit's father or something. I don't know. It's weird, X-Men comics, and I haven't read it in probably like 10 years, but it's good. There's that. The Phoenix returns. So Jean Grey's Phoenix shows up. We have interactions with the Starjammers, with the Shi'ar Empire, with the Brood. There's a lot of stuff that happens in this three books. The book one is called Dreamers and Demons. Book two is Heroes and Martyrs. And then the third one and final one is called Men and X-Men. But if you can get your hands on it to read, it's a good read. It's a fun read. I enjoyed it. It's written by Chris Claremont. So it's that classic Claremont X-Men style. The art's good. It's Sean Chen did the art. And I enjoy it. So there you go. X-Men The End.
Cool.
Next.
Okay, I'm going to do comics as well. I like you all know, I read comics on the DC Unlimited app. I just finished the Amazon's Attack miniseries, which I quite enjoyed. I like that they're sort of expanding the world of Wonder Woman's corner of the DC universe. So it was basically about Nubia, various Wonder Girls. There are three of them now. And Mary Marvel was the other character because she's tied in with the female gods, as that's why she's part of this. And it was a great little miniseries. It sort of runs parallel to what's happening in the Wonder Woman book, where the Amazons have been sort of expelled from most countries because of an incident that occurred. And I've really been enjoying it. So yeah, that's that was Amazon's Attack. And who is the author of that? I will look that up right now for you, and I can let you know. Amazon's Attack. Bum, bum, bum. Of course, it's not coming up quickly for me here. It was by... Oh, no, that was the old 2007 Amazon's Attack series. Anyway, you'll find it at your comic book store. Brent will know. Brent will point you in the right direction. It's in the DC section. Oh, it's written by Josie Campbell. And the art is by Georgiev. That's his name or her name. It could be a her. I do not know. Georgiev. But it's, like I said, I quite enjoyed it. And it's part of the whole Dawn of DC storylines as well. So. And I kind of like that corner of the universe. So Amazon's Attack.
Cool.
My turn.
Jen.
I just finished listening to a book called Paladin's Grace by T. Kingfisher. And honestly, I'm really enjoying her books. I read another one called Nettle and something. Anyway, and it was kind of creepy, but also really, she's got a good sense of humor, this author. But anyway, so this book is about a paladin named Stephen, whose god dies. And what happens, so the paladins, his god was like the Saint of Steel. And basically the chosen, so the paladins of the Saint of Steel were berserkers. And what the god did was control their berserker rage so that, you know, when they went berserk, they didn't kill innocent people. They just killed the people that the god told them to kill. But now the god is gone. So the remaining paladins, because a lot of them didn't survive the death of the god, are living with another order, and they're trying to basically come to terms with the fact that there's this hole in their souls where their god used to be, and he's gone. And it's a really interesting premise, but she honestly does not go into that too much. Like, they don't talk about how the god died or who killed the god or anything like that. That's like, it's an interesting premise, but it's kind of irrelevant to the story. So the story itself is about Stephen, who's one of the paladins who survives, and him coming to terms with the fact that he no longer has his god. But also, he meets a woman named Grace, and there's all sorts of like interesting mystery and intrigue about Grace and the crown prince of a neighboring kingdom, and they get caught up in this like political turmoil that neither of them really want anything to do with, but they somehow get absorbed in it, and it's really cool. And then there's this murder mystery that's underwoven throughout the whole plot, so it's very well written. It's funny. I was listening to it as an audiobook, so I was like laughing out loud while I was driving at some parts. And yeah, she's an excellent author. So I've now moved on to the second book in the series. I think there's 4 books in the series. I'm really enjoying it so far. So if you like fantasy, and if that sounded appealing at all, give Paladin's Grace a try by T. Kingfisher.
Can I throw in another little thing here too?
Okay.
Spotify just in this past week or two has opened up all their audiobook collection if you are on the premier tier, which I pay for regularly. So I've been listening to Star Trek audiobooks on Spotify, and that's been really fun. So there are thousands of audiobooks on there now. I don't know if they share their library with Audible or if it's similar or not, but there's a ton. If you love science fiction and fantasy, there's many, 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 many novels you can listen to. So yeah, that's on Spotify. Their audiobook section has been, you don't have to pay extra now for it. It's now part of your regular premium plan.
Cool.
Yeah, I've really been enjoying listening to audiobooks while I drive to and from work. I was listening to the Stinky Dragon podcast, and I'm going to pick that up again, but I just wanted to take a break for a little while to listen to a couple books. And then I fell across this series, and now I have to finish this series. So it'll be a little while again before I get back into the Stinky Dragon, but I will.
Mm. For my geek picks, it's I'm going with two because one kind of I'm guessing inspired the other. The first is there is a new comic by James Tynion, and due to last podcast on the left, I now know that's how it's pronounced. It is a comic with him and artist Christian Ward called Spectrograph. It is in magazine size format, and it is about this house, this mansion off north of L.A., is up for sale, and there's so many rumors about the occult and the paranormal, and this house is also like made like clockwork kind of thing. So the guy who owned it dies and the house is up for sale and bad things are going to happen. It was my favorite comic that came out this week. I can't wait to read the rest of it. And that dovetails into part of what I thought inspired it that I've started re-listening to is the aforementioned last podcast on the left did a 4-part series on Jack Parsons, who was one of the lead guys involved with the Jet Propulsion Labs, which is like basically they invented rocket fuel for NASA. The thing that like a lot of people don't know is he was super heavy into the occult, and his story, if somebody has the balls to do it, would make for an amazing miniseries that nobody would believe that's true. Like, this is a guy who helped create rocket fuel. He was heavy into the occult. L. Ron Hubbard stole his wife and money. So, like, these are just like highlights of his story that is just bizarre and amazing. And they did last podcast on the left did this a really good 4-part series. It's episodes 5, 12, 13, 14, and 5, 15 are the ones that cover Jack Parsons' story. But it's, I'm guessing like some of this has inspired Spectrograph, and so I figured I would mention both of them at the same time. And cool. That's it. We are done for this episode. When we come back, there is probably going to be lots of mentions of lots of different stuff, because we're starting to get into heavier movie season this week. So slowly ramping up. Boy Kills World came out this week, so I'm looking forward to at some point giving that a go, maybe this week or next week. And like, there's more movies on the way. Like, once June starts, like, they'll be kind of coming every day, every week, I think.
It starts coming along there. Yeah. Some of those ones we've talked about in the past, like Thousand Beavers, are available for streaming now. So,
yeah, Monkey Man is available for streaming already.
Yep,
and I think it's still in theaters here.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is too.
I really want to see that movie. So,
yeah. But before any of that happens, May the 4th is this weekend.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And it's Free Comic Book Day this weekend.
Oh, yes.
So go find your local comic shop, and if they're participating in Free Comic Book Day, go get some free comics. And buy some stuff while you're in the store, too. Because those comics that are free, they ain't free.
Yeah.
For the store, at least. And if you like Pokemon cards, swing by Big Meep Comics on that Saturday.
Or NECA action figures.
unsolicited ads, yay.
Hey, this comic store, Big B Berry, does pay one of the people on this podcast's bills, or at least some of them. So we can give them free advertising, because that means those bills will still get paid. So join us in 2 weeks for lots of different stuff, and until then, Obamastay.
See ya.
Set your phasers to
sexy. Thank you for listening to the True North Nerds. You can find us at truenorthnerds.com or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at True North Nerds. To contact one or any of the nerds, you can email them at truenorthnerds@gmail.com. Theme music provided by Kirby Crackle. You can find more of their music at kirbycracklemusic.com. If you like this show, please go to your podcast app of choice and rate and review us. So set your phasers to